Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Instacart's Deal Week is coming up from December 17th to December 23rd. That means you can get up to 25% off holiday gifts for the whole family from stores like Best Buy, Bath & Body Works, PetSmart, and more. And you can get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Just think of it as Instacart's little gift to you. And while we're on the subject, why not get a little something for yourself, too? Shop Deal Week from December 17th to 23rd and save up to 25% on gifts. Discounts vary. Minimum spend, maximum discount, and exclusions apply.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Somebody around here thinks the Lions are vulnerable heading into tonight's game against the Packers and for the rest of the season. Good morning. Welcome to the show. Maggie, Perloff, you hanging out on a Thursday. We got a really big show today, but Andrew Perloff is the person who thinks that the Lions are vulnerable, not just tonight, but the rest of the season. Good morning. Explain yourself.
So the Lions obviously are the favorite to win the Super Bowl, and I would probably pick them, but there was a play, just one play, against the Bears, where Jameson Williams on Thanksgiving flipped the ball at Tyreek Stevenson, hit him in the face, and got a penalty, which completely derailed the Lions' offense. And I said to myself, if the Eagles play the Lions, sometimes the Lions are not a serious team. He is not a serious person, based on all the evidence in the world.
Yeah,
I think that, listen, the NFC is going to be so tight. I think tonight's game is going to be tight. I think the Packers, the Eagles, and the Lions are all going to play this three-man death game in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So if it's a close game, will the Lions do something dumb? It is. I think they're the best team on paper. I think they're the most talented team. I just wonder, with that coach and those players, are they disciplined enough to see the way through? Now, they choked in last year's playoffs.
Sure.
There was two plays. Jahmyr Gibbs fumbled, and Josh Reynolds dropped an easy pass.
Yeah.
And they should have beaten the Niners. There's no doubt about it. They are the best team. They're the best team in the league right now. I mean, I think they're, and maybe overwhelmingly. So without Aiden Hutchinson dominating on defense, I think there's a much, much smaller room for error. There's a thinner margin. So you're going to have a close game in the playoffs. Do you always trust these guys? I think that's the key component. They're okay. The best team, but will they do something dumb in a close, close playoff game?
All right. That is a little rich coming from someone who you think the Philadelphia Eagles could be there with the Lions. And this is a team last year where the security guard for the Eagles mushed Dre Greenlaw in the face. You want to talk about unserious?
Wait, the Eagles
are unserious. They're way more unserious. Nick Sirianni is a total clown.
Name one player on the Eagles who's not serious. Like, that is like, A.J. Brown is as serious as a heart attack.
And you know what?
Jalen Hurts hasn't smiled in 6 years.
Is your coach serious? People wonder what your coach even does. You know, Dan Campbell has a philosophy, right? Yeah. Dan Campbell, and you might not like it, and the going forward on fourth down and the being super aggressive, and there's times when it just doesn't work. And there are times when Dan Campbell has cost them games, no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
But Nick Sirianni is basically a suit, is he not? I mean, they've had to replace his coordinators 100 different times. They have taken away power from him in every different way. Now, to be fair to the Eagles, it looks like it's working now, but I don't trust what's going on behind the scenes with the Eagles at all. I trust that the Lions are playing for each other. I trust that the Lions have a good culture. I trust that the Lions have good vibes. I don't trust that the Eagles have good vibes.
The Eagles have amazing vibes.
Okay, but at any moment, it feels like that could turn.
I don't know. I feel like the Eagles' core players are like pretty serious. And so are the Lions, by the way. It's like not everything about the Lions. But like,
but you realize that people don't look at the Eagles with Sirianni and Big Dom. Like the Eagles can also be looked at times as being kind of a joke too.
I don't see those players being looked at as a joke because, look at your leaders. Like, nobody's calling A.J. Brown a joke to his face. Nobody's calling Lane Johnson a joke. That just doesn't exist. Both teams are funny, are led by their offensive lines.
Yeah.
I don't think that, Saquon is kind of lighthearted, but he seems pretty serious. Like, the Lions have this other thing where they're just so fast and wild. They have so many weapons that can hit you. I feel like they're a little younger than the Eagles. I feel like the Eagles are the old team in this conversation.
I don't know if the rosters, like how that is true.
The Eagles leaders are, the Eagles have those young DBs, but the Eagles have a lot of old leaders on that team.
But you know what? The Lions have played in big games now. So I don't think that they're going to go into a game tonight they're hosting the Packers. I don't think they're going to be overwhelmed by the moment. You know, they've gone into San Francisco and had that lead and blew it. There's some scar tissue here, not to mention their quarterback, who probably has more scar tissue than anybody. Someone who was discarded by the Rams, totally given up on, Jared Goff, and has totally resurrected his career. I think guys are, something that's like...
Goff doesn't make you nervous?
Well, listen, did he have a game with 5 interceptions?
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, but not really, no, because I think that they have weapons. They're playing at home tonight, and I think it's really important for them to get the number one seed and get home field throughout, because, going to Philadelphia would be pretty hard, losing the division to Green Bay.
Or to Green Bay, right.
You don't want that. But at the same time, I think the Lions have actually showed you a lot, this is what good teams do. It's not automatic all the time. You have a tough loss, you regroup, and it seems like they've completely turned the page on what happened last year in the NFC Championship game. That doesn't seem to be lingering and hanging over them. Meanwhile, the Eagles lost the Super Bowl, and it definitely hung over them the next season. Like, the Eagles are not immune to also being mentally questionable, if you will.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I can't defend the head coach, obviously. Nick Sirianni is loose. It just feels like, and maybe it's just Jameson Williams, but it just feels like in a big moment, we haven't seen the Lions do it. They got to get over this hump.
Sure. And
by the way, and you saw the other thing too, even on the coaching, and Ben Johnson, I know, is the hottest guy, the Bears game.
Yeah.
Why they completely get away from the run in the second half? It was totally bizarre. Like, they were like, all right, they're playing the run, we're going to have Jared Goff drop back, and they just totally stopped moving the ball at all. And they let the Bears right back into the game. The Bears almost had this huge comeback. That's two of the last,
Thanksgiving
game. They blew out Jacksonville, who's terrible, but they really played poorly against Houston and ended up winning that game because Houston's all banged up. And they looked pretty bad, I think, against Chicago last week.
Yeah, so they're definitely a big lead.
They're not really peaking right now. I think they will peak in the playoffs. I mean, listen. Nobody wants to see them. Nobody wants to see those two running backs coming at you. Nobody wants to try and cover Amon-Ra St. Brown. It's impossible. Nobody wants to have Laporta sneak out for a touchdown. The Lions are a huge problem. Talent-wise, they can beat anybody. But are they... Now, what's that extra ingredient we're sort of referring to? Do they have it? I think it's unproven yet. I think there's still a question mark out.
So they obviously have some also injuries tonight, specifically for the Lions. So Taylor Decker is going to be out. Never good when you have your left tackle with a knee injury. And also DJ Reader, the defensive tackle. You're seeing that the Lions are signing guys, trying to put them on practice squad, the likes of Jamal Adams and others, because they've had so many injuries on defense. But to be honest with you, I've been so impressed with how the Lions have responded from losing Aiden Hutchinson. I mean, there are other teams, like when the 49ers lose Nick Bosa or when the Pittsburgh Steelers lose TJ Watt, and the season's over.
Yep. Browns with Myles Garrett.
Same. Yep. And it's a credit to the Lions that their depth, it's a credit to Aaron Glenn, who's the defensive coordinator, who's now a head coaching candidate. It's a credit to them that they've really held on. Yeah, did they let the Bears come back into that game on Thanksgiving? They did, but you know what? They've also have a lot of blowouts. They've also been very convincing. These are division games. I never try to judge a team on style points when it's the division.
Yeah, I mean, keep in mind, as I've said, the NFC North, all the records are inflated because the AFC South is so awful. I mean, if you take out those four or five AFC blowouts, then they're more of a mortal team. So I know the Packers and the Lions are both gaudy records. I mean, anybody can beat the Jags right now. So I don't know if that proves anything. Regardless, they definitely, we know about the talent. We know about turning it on. We know that they've rebounded well. But look at the total of tonight's game, 52. Like, I don't think that is not exactly a Super Bowl winning defense. They're 3.5-point favorites in a 52-point over-under. Like, this defense is going to let up some points. It's not, they're not going to win with defense. They're going to win with offense.
Right. And you ask yourself, like, the old cliche, right?
Yeah, I know. Then yeah. You're getting into that issue. I think if Aiden Hutchinson is there, it's like, oh, man, like, they have the closer. Now, I just don't think they've been quite tested in this new team where they don't, you know, what is Za'Darius Smith? We don't really know. There's a lot of question marks. You mentioned a lot of different personnel coming in, even later in the season.
I guess the question is, do you trust the Lions? It doesn't sound like Perloff does. I do. But here's the thing about the Lions. They have one of the hardest schedules to end the season, right? This is not the Eagles schedule, I don't think, is nearly close to this. They obviously play the Packers tonight, then Buffalo. At least that's a home game for them. So that's going to be a Sunday afternoon game. Then they're at Chicago, then at San Francisco. That's Monday night. And then they finish out the season with Minnesota. And here's the thing. Minnesota keeps winning. And Minnesota is not is not playing the Packers this weekend. They're playing the Falcons. So
the team we keep forgetting about, Minnesota.
I know. And to be fair, like, Minnesota could easily, not easily, but there is a definite shot that they could win the division. And there's a shot the Packers could win the division if they win this game tonight. They must win this game tonight.
It's because the Eagles have, if they lose to the Bills, it really doesn't matter because the tiebreaker would come down to the conference record. So this is a huge way. If the Eagles really want to jump them, you know, the other thing too, the Bills.
Yeah.
You know, the Bills formula is just going to be run, control the ball.
Yep.
Is that where the Lions will be vulnerable? I'm curious because the Packers, I think tonight with the injuries you mentioned, are going to try and run the ball. That's really the test. Can they stop Josh Jacobs and the Packers? And we'll see because, you know, you're going to go through the playoffs this year. You might get Josh Jacobs in one round, Saquon Barkley in the next round, and then either the Bills or the Chiefs running attack in the next round in the Super Bowl. They really have to prove that this defense can get all these pieces together, Maggie.
Or Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry. Forgot about the Ravens.
Oh, right.
Could be this attack.
Or the Steelers love to run the ball.
Yep.
You know, you mentioned Jamal Adams. Like, I think that's why they're probably a little worried that, hey, do we have enough to stop all these run teams? Because they're not. Their defense is good, not great. Their offense is great.
Yeah. 855-212-4227. We're on in Lions country. We're on a Packers country. So we'd love to hear how you guys are feeling going into this game. Let's not forget, I thought it was one of the signature wins of the season. And I remember you and I think disagreed about this at the time. A signature win of the season when the Lions went to Green Bay and won. And I know that was a 10-point win. What week was that? That was early, first week of November. They go to Lambeau and win. And I thought that was massive because, A, continuing to play, show that Jared Goff plays well outdoors, which is something he's got to get over still. And then the second part, you know, that's as tough as it gets to me in the division. As tough as it gets, I would say, throughout football in terms of home field advantage and all of that. Lambeau is nuts. So, to me, that showed a lot for the Lions.
Right,
and I know a lot has happened since then because of injuries, but I do trust them.
But Love was still coming back from injury that game. That's the clear excuse. That's what the Packers fans are going to say. And also, the weather wasn't great that day, which actually hurt Love more than hurt Goff. Goff didn't have to do much that game. As I recall, it was a much more conservative attack from the Lions, which I think makes them even more dangerous. If I'm the Lions, I think they're going to run to try and control these games because you don't want Goff throwing 40 times a game. If tonight becomes a shootout, like remember when Jared Goff was on the Rams and he played the Chiefs and it was 54-51?
Crazy.
That the Lions can't win a Super Bowl doing that. That's why they have these two great running backs. So that's what they did to the Packers. They sort of beat them up in Lambeau. But Jordan Love's healthier. What if we have the Jordan Love who torched the Lions at the end of last year? That'd be interesting. So this is good. We say all this about the Lions. The Packers are right behind them, too. Let's not shortchange them at all.
No, this is still first place in this division is very much up in the air. Packers got to win this tonight. But
they have injuries, too. I mean,
Josh Jacobs dealing with a calf injury. But he's
Jair Alexander, I don't think he's playing. And like they need him against this Lions receiving corps.
No doubt. Read this in The Athletic. Right now, Lions have a 50% chance to win the division. If they lose tonight, goes down to 30%. That's not nothing. And just a little bit more of kind of what's at stake when you look at the outlook of the NFC and why this is so important. Because if you win the division and you get the number one seed, obviously you get a bye. But here come the Eagles, 10-2. They've won 8 in a row. This is not a given. So if you go down to, if you're the Packers, let's say, and you're right now, you'd be the 6th seed. If you're the 7th seed, okay, if you drop, if you falter, if you go down and if you fall in the standings, you could be playing either the Lions or the Eagles in the first round of the playoffs as a two seed.
Yeah.
Or if you're the six seed, you could go to Seattle and play the Seahawks. Who would you rather play?
Go to Seattle.
Exactly. But
by the way, yeah, there's a lot left to be determined in that division.
That's true. Yeah. Or I'm just saying, if it started today, or if you're the fifth seed, you get to go play the Falcons. Like, there's every incentive in the world here for the Packers to obviously keep this thing as close as possible and start handing some losses to the division.
Although I wouldn't mind going to Minnesota. If I'm any of those teams.
You know, maybe we got to start being a little more...
Well, Detroit specifically is, because it's an indoor stadium. Yeah. I don't think that is a good environment for them. Come on, let's be honest. I mean, we saw what happened when the Vikings were 13-4 2 years ago with Kevin O'Connell. We're all adults here, Maggie. We can admit it. We're not scared of the Vikings. Are you afraid to say that?
I think this could be a better team. I don't know if Sam Darnold is better than Kirk Cousins was at that time, if it all comes down to the quarterback, but... you didn't have Jordan Addison back then. I like this defense and Brian Flores.
They're winning like these narrow games.
Okay, but remember we talked about this, forgive us for the nerd stat here. It's called DVOA, and it's kind of a true test of sort of how good your team is.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that 2 years ago that they Minnesota team was 26. Well, they're top eight right now.
Right, but what are Green Bay and Detroit?
Also in the top eight.
Yeah, I know. They're higher than Minnesota.
But I'm just saying that Minnesota team was felt, there were all these advanced metrics that told you they were frauds. The advanced metrics are not telling you that this time.
Well, the simple metrics are, they beat Jacksonville 12-7. That's like a 40-point loss to a normal team. They beat Tennessee 23-13 in a game that was a game. They edged the Bears, who were bad, and they just beat Arizona. That was as narrow a win as you possibly could have. Credit Sam Darnold for making big throws at the end. But these are not impressive wins. I'm sorry. I mean, come on. You usually look at the Packers and the Lions and the Eagles. Nobody is putting the Vikings in that discussion. Might not be fair, but I totally get it.
NFC North is nuts right now. And don't forget, the Bears now have a new head coach. They've had a new offensive coordinator. I mean, they should have at least tied that game against the Lions on Thanksgiving, and then you see what happens. That would have been an unreal win for them.
Well, how about the Packers game?
Oh, my gosh. The Packers game, which I lost bets every which way on that game. That one's going to stay with me for a while. Anyway, the question is, do you believe in the Lions? 855-212-4227. Perloff, not so much. Me, absolutely. They're in the Super Bowl, man. Team's not going to be stopped. Yes.
So you're done. You're picking, are they winning the Super Bowl?
Probably. Because here's what could happen. I don't know if my Bills are making the Super Bowl. I hope they do. But it's going to be the battle of like the downtrodden franchises who have now turned it around. And I don't know who lays claim to that more. It's like when the Cleveland Indians, Guardians, played the Chicago Cubs in the World Series. Now, the Cubs had one of the worst, like, curses and stuff like that. But both teams were kind of underdogs. Who do you root for? Yeah. Who's the David? And who's the Goliath in this one?
Yeah, the problem is there is a guy, and it's an Eagles fan. Let me warn you about one guy who was limping at halftime of a Super Bowl when we were up by 10 points and came back and torched us.
I know.
Mahomes is lingering out there. Be very careful about, I know the Lions are heavy favorites to win the Super Bowl now. Just be very careful about dismissing Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs.
No, if it's Mahomes, I mean, who's betting against him?
No,
by the way,
we're not allowed. We're not
doing
that.
We're still going to hear from the Ravens, I think, to be at this. I think the Steelers we're still going to hear from at some point. We're hearing from them. I think the Steelers are very much in this.
Yeah, it's not hear from them. Yeah, it's
this isn't over. But I think for the NFC, it is. 855-212-4227. Okay, let us know what you think. Big game tonight. We've got some fun guests on the docket today. We're not really a guest-heavy show, but sometimes it works that way. Chris Myers, the announcer, the broadcaster, the legendary award-winning broadcaster, is going to join us later on in the show. Lomas Brown, the Super Bowl champion and color analyst for the Lions, is going to join us later in the show. And Jory Epstein, who landed the big interview with Dak Prescott that's making a lot of waves. Dak Prescott really backing up his head coach, Mike McCarthy. Jory will join us later in the show. Look at us. Okay, coming up, lots more to do, including there's problems, major problems with a team that has high expectations. We'll tell you who they are and what's going wrong next.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. Oh, my God. I woke up this morning, and I was in the best mood because I'm like, finally, football is back. I get so depressed on Tuesday and Wednesday nights trying to figure out something to watch. and we have the best game, maybe the best game of the year in the Packers and the Lions. This is, I don't know, is everyone else there? Like, their mood is like, okay, I mean, the you know, it's freezing out. It's kind of depressing. It's December, but I'm going to sit and eat food and watch a game tonight. Does anyone else think like that?
You can't hang on from Monday at midnight until Thursday at 8?
Well, no, it's hard. I mean, listen, I have friends who bet a lot of Maction like, to get them through.
Yeah.
I just have trouble engaging. I do a lot of prize picks on the Maction quarterbacks, the Mac quarterbacks.
Well, that's what it's built for.
Yeah, but generally, yeah, you guys don't get depressed on Tuesday and Wednesday?
Well, no, here's the thing. First of all, this is December. You're like, it's December. This is a month that's almost as good as it gets. I know it's cold and it's dark here in the Northeast, but this is holiday time. Like, this is the good stuff. I mean, yeah, a little holiday anxiety, maybe. You got to, like, buy gifts and whatever. But isn't this generally the fun time of year?
Yeah, no, it's good. But Tuesday and Wednesday, like, it's just at night. Like, what are you guys doing? So I'm like, oh, man, I need to find a show that's streaming somewhere.
I know, heaven forbid, there's none of those around.
I don't know.
Nothing out there to consume.
It's I just think it's so easy when you know what you're doing. Like, what are you doing tonight? Oh, I'm watching the Lions-Packers. Done.
Right. I mean, I could have interested you in a little Fairleigh Dickinson Fordham Rams on our cable last night.
I know
night
that's what you were doing last night, Maggie, and I know that's what you were doing, Bogus, but I got the text too late, so I missed the bulk of that game. It was already...
You could have just gone to sleep, too. That's what I do on Tuesdays and Wednesdays normally.
I need to watch an hour of television before I go to sleep. I've always been like that. I'm like an unwind in front of the TV guy.
Well, I think it's gotten a lot of attention nationally, but there was a crazy situation that happened in New York yesterday with the CEO of United Healthcare, who was like basically murdered in the street yesterday.
I'm not sure where you're going with this, but yes.
I was glued to the coverage of that.
That's a good one.
I mean, well, it's not good. It's tragic. It's horrifying, but I couldn't look away. This is a really... I don't know if you guys are seeing this all over the country, but it obviously got a lot of attention. Not to mention the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree lighting was blocks away from that yesterday. So a weird, weird day in our city, but I can't believe someone was as brazen to pull something, try to attempt something like that, not alone pull it off in this tragic way, and then the perpetrator just flees through Central Park.
Yeah, it's like a movie.
It was like a targeted hit on this CEO. It's crazy.
I wish I had texted you because I was flipping around trying to find something and I totally failed. Eventually just spent time with my children helping them with their math homework.
Oh my gosh.
Boring.
I mean, that sounds awful. Snooze fest, especially this new math.
Oh my God. Grief. My daughter's in pre-algebra and I'm like, God, I've forgotten everything about how this works. So X equals, like, I have no idea.
Like, oh my gosh, can I get the SEC, ACC, college basketball, whatever?
Yeah,
someone give me Auburn Duke.
So I finally got the right answer to a problem, and my daughter just goes, Dad, we don't do it like that anymore. The teacher would knock off points for that. You did it wrong.
That's the whole thing about math that I don't understand. I thought it was all about just getting the right answer. That's why I never understood the show your work. Like, it's math. The answer is the answer. Does it matter how you arrived at it?
Well, the logic is it gets harder and harder if you can just sort of get an easy one to get the process down so you can do the harder.
Yeah,
anyway,
this is Nick Saban. Trust the process.
So were you
how about
good
the
at
result?
Were you good at math? I struggle with math because it takes a lot of work. Like, I was really good in English. You could just fake that.
No, I'm not good at math. That's probably not a surprise.
Yeah, okay. So tomorrow, next Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm going to text you, Maggie, what are you watching? And I would have gone in for that murder coverage. I mean, always down for that.
It was the guy's got a silencer.
The silencer
and then
was
flees.
A game changer. At an e-bike.
And disappears, right?
Still haven't found him.
Into the park, and he's just gone.
Well, the weird thing about it is, it's not weird, but we're just talking through this crazy case. This guy's still on the lam. I don't think he's a danger to anybody, though, because very targeted. It's not like some lunatic person who's on the loose. And, you know, we had something like that happened in Philadelphia over the summer where a guy was just like a fugitive who had broken out of a prison. And you had no idea what this guy was going to do. He was a complete loose cannon. He was serving a lifetime prison sentence, you know, all that. But this guy, it was so targeted that he hit the CEO at 7 o'clock in the morning and then just fled through Central Park. I don't think people believe he's a danger to anyone, but obviously he's got to be caught.
Oh, absolutely. It's interesting, too, because, you know, from the pandemic, the masks changed the crime game a lot because you could hide your face and do things.
And it doesn't seem weird to be wearing. It's not like a tip-off if you see someone with a mask on. It doesn't immediately raise a red flag.
Like a guy dressed like a ninja. It's like, oh, yeah, it's just either it's cold outside or he's trying to not spread germs. But, this was really, really fascinating. But if you do want unhinged killers, that you can find those in New York, too, if you want to visit the town. It's not like it's the safest thing. Well, this one doesn't feel like a danger, but there's other plenty of ways to get in trouble in this city.
EJ worked in the news division at New York One, which is a local news organization here, really respected. EJ, you had a thought immediately about this thing, where your mind went coming from a news background.
Yeah, everyone's running to someone disgruntled or someone who's against the health industry, which I would, you know, make sense. I see a lot of stories where spurned lover or spurned spouse hires hitman to take some people out.
I see a lot of stories like this?
Yeah.
Wow.
I saw it when I was at New York One locally, on much, much more local level. It really wasn't, for that, it wasn't so much maybe like an executive.
Right.
But national stories, this happens way more often than you think.
Can I be honest? You're going to hire a hitman. How do you think you're getting away with that?
I don't know. I feel like it never do.
Like the movie Hitman with Glenn Powell. You guys see that? Every hitman got caught.
Exactly.
There was the thesis in the movie that there are really no hitmen. They're all undercover cops.
Right. I'd be worried. I'd be walking into a trap that's being laid. You know, you're going to try to pay in crypto or something like that. You're going to get caught, I think.
How do you trust this person with your life?
Exactly. This person is going to turn on you in a moment. They're a hitman. They're basically a mercenary. I think the only people who would probably could pull off things like this as far as a hitman is concerned would be like the mafia, like because you are taking an oath of loyalty to something bigger.
Yeah.
But anyway.
That's dark, but I like it.
Like Charles Barkley said, don't commit crime with checks.
That's also words to live by.
Well, how did the guy get the city bike out of it? You have to use a credit card to get the city bike.
I was talking about this morning with former NFL MVP Boomer Esiason, very into this story. He said that the bike was not a city bike. It's a e-bike.
Right.
But that it was a personal e-bike or something that it can't be traced. I thought it was one of the Lyft ones that company Lyft owns all these electronic bikes. By the way, why we're doing electronic bikes in this city for people don't take a road test? It's super dangerous.
But I know for a fact, because I heard it on our speakers, that 1010 Winds, our sister station, was reporting yesterday at the beginning of all this that it was a city bike.
Right.
Because, and they said it has GPS.
Right.
That's how they knew they could see it driving into Central Park. And
that's
then I guess
what
at some point
too.
He got off of it.
Yeah, but I saw the picture. It looked like a city bike e-bike, but he could have used a credit.
You do this,
like,
you put a credit card in, you got to find a dock.
Yeah, if you were going to bother having a silencer on your gun, you are not using a credit card to rent a bike right outside the murder scene.
Feels like that would be an amateur move. But this is a sad story. We're not trying to make light of it at all. It was just so shocking. Because people think New York is some kind of like cesspool place, and probably if you're joking about it, but this kind of stuff does not happen a lot. This gets news. A CEO is walking into a busy Midtown hotel in the middle of the day or morning.
Well, listen, you know I'm an expert because I was on grand jury trial and there was about, you know, three murders a day.
Yeah, that changed you fundamentally.
Yeah, yeah. This is really sad. And the interesting thing too is there is so much video footage automatically, especially in New York. There's cameras on every building, so they're going to be able to trace this guy for a while. But Bogish mentioned he went into the park like Home Alone 2. He just completely disappeared. I think, you know, people are making bigger. I think they need to catch this guy and settle this story.
Definitely.
You know, I think you're right. Like, not only because I'm curious, but also it is a little like
unnerving.
He's in some ways this. The murderer is being painted because of the storyline that EJ said as sort of a sympathetic creature because of the possibility that insurance denied somebody, which is a real issue too.
Right, right. There's a theory out there that there's a lot of theories that maybe someone was denied coverage and something happened to a loved one and this is like some kind of vigilante justice or some kind of revenge. But here's the thing about that. That's kind of like... To do that and not, I don't say take credit for it or tell people this is why you're doing it, what does that solve?
Well, there's time. Like, you know, this happens.
That's like terrorism. You know, like terrorists take credit for things because they want people to be scared.
Yeah, but I'm saying there's time for that to still happen. I mean, today, it would happen yesterday.
Right, right.
There's today. There's this weekend. Like, you know, like I'm hoping this isn't a pattern that continues. But again, given, you know, the concerns and the frustration people have with the healthcare industry, I get why people are running to that. But again, powerful people who are in big positions, and I've seen these stories. I just Googled spouses hiring hitmen. I literally got stories from Tennessee, Queens, New York, like just literally all, this is in the last few months, you know, like that whole spouse hiring a hitman to kill a husband thing is something that happens a lot. I wouldn't just rule that out.
Dismiss
I know it's a little
it.
Bit out of the window, but just from what I've covered with what I've seen, when I saw this, that's actually the first thing I ran to.
Interesting. 855-212-4227. I'm not sure why I gave the number there.
Also, there were death threats reportedly. His wife said that there were. So they have to trace those down. That might give you some information.
You know, here's the other part, and we'll get back to sports. I'm sorry, but we're fascinated by this thing. If a CEO of a healthcare company is getting death threats, maybe he should have some security around him when he's, I don't know, in the middle of New York City.
Yeah.
That's just my thought on things. Anyway, hindsight. Bogus is here with headlines. Hey, Bugs.
Yeah, thanks for the switch. Headlines are sponsored
Take it away.
By Prize Picks. Football season's heating up, and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. Download Prize Picks, use code PRIMETIME to get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states where it's lawful to wager. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
I'm going to hug him.
Somewhere, Pete Bilotti smiles knowingly, sipping his favorite Bordeaux. The Lakers losing by 41 points last night. 134-93 in Miami. How we doing, J.J. Redick?
Not sure what was lost in translation. There has to be some ownership on the court, and I'll take all the ownership in the world. This is my team, and I lead it, and I'm embarrassed.
I think you're an idiot.
LeBron would agree.
There's no schemes or X's and O's or whatever that can it's gonna get you through that, you know. If you don't want to come to compete, then that's other issues.
The good news is LeBron did end his 3-point drought last night. He had missed 20 in a row before knocking down one. He scored 29 overall, but Anthony Davis a season low 8 points, 3 of 14 shooting, 41 points. By the way, the third largest win in Heat history. They tied their record with 24 threes, set a new team mark with 42 assists.
And did Bronny play? Bronny didn't even get into this game?
Couldn't tell you.
This is bench warmer time. If they're not going to play Bronny in this game, then we're never going to see Bronny. See, that would be exciting to me. Lose by 40, your son gets in. That's something, no?
Which is funny, too, because Miami is kind of one of Bronny's hometowns, no?
probably.
He's listed in the box score as heel bruise, so he was inactive for this game.
He got How's he hurt? He doesn't play.
Plays in the G League. Maybe.
What's a heel bruise?
Sounds painful.
No, it sounds made up.
You know, this last night was the first time.
Do we not have heels? I don't understand what you mean.
I mean, it's clearly like
plantar fasciitis, probably. Well,
when you
like
load
that.
Manage a guy, you say quad. It's always like quad bruise or something. A heel bruise means like, oh, he stinks. He's not getting on the court.
Well, tendinopathy is a new word they throw around a lot on these things. It's like it's not a real injury.
Isn't it weird? Like. Do you even do real injury reports for a guy this low on the bench? Like, do you even need to put, like, why he didn't play? Like,
yeah, DNP, who cares?
Right, like, it's like,
you know why.
You know why Bronny's not getting out there, whether he's hurt or not.
I mean, the bigger question is not why he's out, it's why he's here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm reading a little more. He has a left heel contusion. The second you hear the word contusion, that means it's all fake.
Yeah.
That is NBA code for load management or whatever.
But this is the first time in maybe 2 months where I was like, man, I don't know if J.J. Redick's going to make it. The one thing that Redick has going for him as the head coach of the Lakers that I think the last couple guys did not is he knows he's got a whole second thing waiting for him.
You mean broadcasting?
Exactly.
That's what he's got going for him. So you're already counting Matt as a failure in Laker land.
No, I'm just saying, I think he can be a little more honest. First of all, I think that's just who he is. But I don't think, you know, he's calling out guys and there's another cut where he's like, you know, listen, I'll take my responsibility, but I'm not on the court. I can't call out the protection, what he called them, reds. Like, I can't call out where people need to be. The players have to do that. And I don't think Darvin Ham would have said something like that. I think Frank
really
Vogel would not have said something like that.
I really feel like that is actually probably going to, you know, make him not a hero, but the Laker Nation will like that. Because one thing, is, regardless of what Darvin Ham X's knows, his answers about, I don't know what to do. Like, he had some weird quotes where it didn't seem like he was taking accountability for the joke that was happening on the court. JJ wears his heart on his sleeve and on his mouth because he'll say whatever he's feeling. And him looking at this 40-point loss in December, where maybe people could just chalk it up, he's acting like this is a playoff game, and he's that disappointed. Laker Nation will like that, so maybe that helps him through this tough time.
Damn right.
Folks, what else you got?
LA's other team didn't fare much better. The Clippers taking a 108-80 home beating from the T-Wolves. That ends their 9-game home win streak. The Hawks snapped the Bucks' 7-game run, 119-104 in Milwaukee. And the Nets topped the Pacers 99-90 to end their 3-game skid. After going 0-3 at the Maui Invitational, UConn dropped from 2nd to 25th in the AP poll. But then they beat number 15 Baylor last night, 76-72 in Stores. In the first half of that one, Aiden Mahaney hit back-to-back threes for UConn and then had a viral sideline interaction with coach/madman Dan Hurley.
I headbutted him, then he punched me in the chest hard. That's why I'm talking so low. I think I might have cracked a rib. He rose like a phoenix out of the ashes today. That's why we're, I'm not sure if you saw that on the sideline today. You know, he was, and I'm not sure that's what a phoenix does.
Is that what a concussion sounds like? Is he okay?
Very Jim Harbaugh-esque.
He headbutted a dude, bareheaded, and then got punched in the chest by his player.
Well, he said, this is why I'm talking slow. It's like, you're shouting. I don't, maybe your inner ear burst or something.
I kind of heard the lung damage in there. Like something feels like he's having trouble getting full breaths.
I mean, they did look ridiculous. It looked violent. Sorry, not ridiculous. It looked like a violent collision.
That's why I'm actually not betting against this UConn team in the playoffs. I think they're all taking on the persona of that coach, and that might be a good thing.
I think this was we talked about it last week. I think that's what separates him from like the Bobby Knight Coach K, where like you'll never see
the
Bobby
players
Knight
actually
embrace
hurting
him like this, right? Or allow like maybe Izzo lets it happen like this, but nobody embraces. And this is not the first time this happened. I've seen him do this a lot. It just doesn't get talked about as much. He is as much a cheerleader for his own players as anyone sitting in Stores or in Hartford, wherever they're playing. Like that I think is what, for the people who do like this stuff and do like him, I think this is why.
Yeah,
he's actually, in that sense, he has nothing in common with Bobby Knight. Bobby Knight did not like his own players. Even Steve Alford, he gave a hard time to. I think you're right. It's a totally different vibe. I mean, he's definitely the top coach in the sport, right? I mean,
definitely.
There's no conversation. Is there even a who's second?
I mean, he's definitely the top coach of the sport who treats the team like Fight Club. During the game.
Right. Like, I think more
like
coaches
we're
should do that.
We're going to see him shirtless at some point.
Absolutely.
Just like rip his shirt off in excitement?
Kind of.
Okay.
I think we're not far from that.
I thought you meant like just seeing him like coaching in like a tank top for like half a game or something because he sweated like through his suit or something.
Pulling the tie down or whatever and just rips the buttons and leaves them. I don't know.
Remember that there was that video of
Manny thinks it's eyewash.
When him and Bobby were on the same staff and there was somebody following them around cursing out the refs throughout the game. Those guys are insane. I mean, you know the dad. He raised two madmen as kids.
Well, I once also saw, this was Bobby, not Danny. Bobby was at Arizona State. He drank like 3 Red Bulls before a game. Like, that can't be good for you.
Definitely not.
3 Red Bulls, you're going to chug that before a game? That's insanity.
Top-ranked Kansas fell at Creighton last night, 76-63. Number 2, Auburn, an 84-78 loser at 9th-ranked Duke with Cooper Flagg posting 22 points and 11 boards. Oklahoma Sooners starting QB Jackson Arnold's in the transfer portal. And Connor Bedard and his Blackhawks lose again last night, 4-2 to the Bruins in Chicago. They've now dropped 4 straight. Time to get a new Connor. Guys, back to you.
Good luck finding one. As we talked about yesterday, not a lot of famous Connors out there.
I spent a big time on Google looking at why are there not more famous Connors, and I found no answer because it's a very common name in Ireland. You got Connor McGregor, Connor Bedard, Connor McDavid, and Connor Cook, the former Michigan State quarterback. That's it.
Like, how is that the list?
There's no actors.
There's no bigger gap from 3 to 4 on any list than that one.
Yeah. Fair. Actors, coaches, politicians. Yeah. How else do you get famous in this world?
Well, it was Connor Oberst, the folk indie singer. I'm sure you're a fan.
Nope.
What?
That doesn't count either.
Yeah. What band is he in?
Bright Eyes, you know?
Sure.
Oh, come on. Everyone here knows Connor Oberst.
You're sad, Dad. 855-212-4227. Okay, lots more to do, including more on tonight's game. We got the Packers and the Lions in Detroit. We also have a question for you about the AFC. This one's going to get intense. It's Maggie Perloff.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing.
But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, so much to get to today. Very busy, busy sports day. Tonight you've got Lions and you got the Packers. We had signing day yesterday for our high school players and college. Transfer portal is open. Lots of fun stuff going on. Let's hit Dan in California. Wants to weigh in. A question we have for you this morning. Do you trust the Lions? Do you trust the Lions in a big game? Would you trust the Lions if they made the Super Bowl? Good morning, Dan.
Hey, good morning, you guys. Yeah, we're going to find out tonight, I think. I think Green Bay, maybe out of those three teams, is the more consistently solid, as long as Jordan Love is healthy and right. But I think they're going to win, the Lions, because they're at home.
Yeah.
That makes a huge difference. And then, so I'm a 49ers fan, so I'm looking kind of at a third-party point of view on this.
Yeah. Scouting,
you know,
the competition.
In the NFC Championship last year, they should have won. The coach screwed up a couple things, a couple of players. I think they were kind of nervous. I mean, we barely beat Green Bay the week before. So, I think they're smarter now, but I don't know if losing Hutchinson, I don't remember if he did any big things against the 49ers in that game. I didn't look up the stat line, but that might hurt him. Other than that, yeah. I think they're more experienced, and experience counts, as you know, in the playoffs.
Dan, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think that, listen, I don't think Dan Campbell is going to change who he is. And I think that's really important because when coaches, Perloff, have like a philosophy and then they go away from it in a big game, that makes everyone kind of unstable. And so, yeah, you might blame Dan Campbell for what happened with the 49ers, but I think if they are in the same spot, they're going for it again on fourth down.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're not going to waver. I actually think that's really important to everyone understanding, hey, this is what kind of team we are. And just because the games get tight or the games get bigger doesn't mean we're going to change who we are.
Absolutely. You know, it's so funny. He just said he thought the Packers were a more solid team, which I think is interesting, too, because the Packers, to me, are another team where they have all the talent in the world, young talent, but do you trust those receivers to catch the ball consistently? I mean, that's a team. Like, I know Dontayvion Wicks, they might have to bench because of his drops. He's so talented. He gets open all the time, but he can't catch the ball. And I think Christian Watson is another guy. Do I fully trust him? He seems like he gets hurt every third play. They're an interesting team, too. They're young and talented and unproven in a sense, too. The two teams are very similar to each other in a sense. Like, I feel like you don't want to – nobody really wants to see either of them.
I would agree.
Both great offensive lines. Great offensive lines.
Yeah, I think I trust the Lions a little bit more than the Packers right now.
Right.
The Packers, to me – listen, if Jordan Love didn't get hurt in that opening game in Brazil and then have to subsequently deal with these knee issues, maybe I'm feeling a lot better. But Jordan Love's turned the ball over a lot. I think there's more things to nitpick with the Packers right now than there are with the Lions. The Lions, the biggest nitpick is what? They're injured.
Well, they're just scared. I mean, people are scared that eventually losing Aiden Hutchinson will catch up to you. I mean, there's a logic there. You had the surefire defense player of the year go down unless he gets back by the Super Bowl. That I think that's the fear. Like, do we really know how this defense is going to stand up to a great offense? I think we'll see tonight.
855-212-4227. What if I flipped this question for you and said, all right, we're asking who do you trust in the NFC because of this game tonight where the Packers are going to Detroit? Who do you trust in the AFC? The Chiefs, while they deserve all of our praise and, you know, when they get to the playoffs, good luck to you if you're betting against the Chiefs. But right now, they don't look like a great team. You said it yourself earlier this week. You had a great line. You said, what do we do when the best team in football is not playing like the best team? Or, I mean, something along those lines.
Yeah, I mean.
Very poetic by you.
I don't know about that, but right, like they're basically playing even football with the Carolina Panthers right now. That's what we're looking at. But are they playing possum, Maggie, just to frustrate you specifically? Are they, I mean, Travis Kelce can't catch a football. He's more worried about his haircut than actually getting open, it seems like. I mean, he's statistically a disaster. He had 13 targets and 6 catches last week. What the heck is going on?
You know, I don't think so because it was only a couple, like maybe a month ago, you and I were having a conversation, and I thought that the Chiefs were going for the undefeated season. I thought that was important to them. We were talking about it after they had this win over... When did we have that discussion? They had just pulled out a win against... Oh, Tampa. Tampa. That game went to overtime. And the reason why I thought that the Chiefs were definitely going for the undefeated season is because Mahomes got injured in the first play of the fourth quarter. And remember Carson Wentz is warming up, the backup?
Yes.
And Mahomes stayed in the game. And I think I thought, this means they're going for the undefeated season because there's no other reason. This is not a conference game. This is ultimately not going to mean a lot. If Mahomes is actually hurt, this is where you take a seat, and he refused to do that. And so I don't think they're playing possum. I think they're really trying to win.
Oh, I definitely think they're holding back. I don't think they're showing the full playbook. I think there's something else coming in the play. I'm being dead serious. I don't think they view the regular season as paramount.
So besides Isaiah Pacheco, who's now back, are they holding?
I wonder if there are more plays to DeAndre Hopkins that we have not really seen yet and that we will see in the playoffs. I do think Kelce's seriousness level will go up tenfold in the playoffs.
I think he's trying to drop passes. The guy's a Hall of Famer.
I think he'll be more focused. I really do. I think when it comes to play, I think he'll play better. And based on last year, he kind of looked mundane, started picking up at the end of the year. Yeah, I think he's going to be a much better player. I think he steps up to them. You know how like Eli Manning was great in the big moment? Isn't that Travis Kelce?
Yeah, but Kelce's maybe the greatest tight end of all time.
Yeah, I mean, last year, remember Gronk couldn't do anything in the regular season, then came out and was a killer in the playoffs? That's what old tight ends do. Yeah, also, throw the ball to Hopkins every time.
855-212-4227. All right, coming up, we're going to debut a new segment. Stick around. We'll be right back.